Good morning, everyone. Let's begin our service this morning by singing hymn number 221. O Jesus, our dear Master, thy works, now understood, reveal their full effulgence through love and brotherhood. Today, Christ's precious science, thy healing power makes plain. With joy may all obey thee and cast out sin and pain. Hymn number 221. Imogene from Australia will now read a selection from the scriptures. Go ahead, Imogene.
The Bible, Ephesians. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer, and then follow with the Lord's Prayer, together with its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook.
Our Father, which art in heaven,
our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious,
hallowed be thy name,
adorable one,
thy kingdom come,
thy kingdom is come, thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite. All power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let us now sing hymn number 196. Now is the time approaching, by prophets long foretold, when all shall dwell together, one shepherd and one fold. Now Jew and Gentile meeting from many a distant shore, around one altar kneeling, one common Lord adore. Hymn number 196. Good morning and welcome to the Sunday morning church service from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We are so glad that each and all of you have joined us this morning. Everyone is welcome here. At all of our services and meetings, etc., we read from the King James Bible and from the writings of Mary Baker Eddy. We start Sunday mornings here at 10 o'clock in the morning with our roundtable discussion. This is a type of training session in practical Christian Science. What could be more valuable or important than to know how blessed we are to have God's inspired Word, to know how it blesses and heals us, it guides us through all our days, and leads us to His blessings. So I highly recommend that you tune in to our roundtable discussions, 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And if you are not able to attend, we have recordings on our church website, plainfieldcs.com. And talking about our websites, we have 21 of them altogether, all in different languages. And as a result, people from across the globe have found one or more of our websites, have found our church, have found God's healing, blessed, inspired Word. And we're so thankful for each and every one who have done so. On Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock, we also offer a Sunday school for children. This Sunday school meets every Sunday at 11 a.m., and it has a teleconference feature, one dedicated exclusively for the Sunday school. This enables our students that don't live in the area to attend our Sunday school by telephone. And what this means is that your child also can attend our Sunday school by telephone, regardless of where you live. Call up the church. We'd be happy to give you the phone number for the Sunday school. And the teachers there would be most happy to welcome your child. On Wednesday evenings at 8:15 p.m., we have our weekly testimony meeting. At this meeting, you can hear beautiful music, inspired reading, and testimonies that testify to the healing power of Christian Science, how their lives have been improved, how problems have been resolved, and other issues have been healed and made better, all through the power of God's grace. So please, I recommend that you attend our Wednesday evening testimony meetings, 8:15 p.m. Now, Janet from Georgia will read a testimony of healing from the chapter of Fruitage from Science and Health, which testifies to the healing power obtained just from reading and studying the Christian Science textbook. Go ahead, Janet.
Thank you. Page 646. Textbook appreciated. It has been my privilege to have interviews with representatives of more than 60% of the nations of this earth under their own vine and fig tree. I had never heard a principle understandingly advanced that would enable mankind to obey the apostolic command, prove all things, until Science and Health with key to the scriptures was placed in my hands. I believe that the honest study of this book in connection with the Bible will enable one to prove all things. I make this unqualified statement because of what my eyes have seen and my ears heard from my fellow men of unquestioned integrity and the positive proofs I have gained by the study of these books. Many supposed material laws that have been rooted and grounded in my mentality from youth have been overcome. It required some time for me to wake up to our leader's words in Miscellaneous Writings, page 206, quote, "The advancing stages of Christian Science are gained through growth, not accretion," end quote. I had many disappointments and falls before I was willing to do the scientific work required to prove this statement. Yet notwithstanding the cost to ourselves, I am convinced that we cannot do much credit to the cause we profess to love until we place ourselves in a position to prove God as He really is to us individually and our relation to Him by scientific work. I wish to express loving gratitude to our leader for the new edition of Science and Health. In studying this new edition, one cannot help see the wisdom, love, and careful and prayerful thought expressed in the revision. Often the changing of a single word in a sentence makes the scientific thought not only more lucid to him who is familiar with the book, but also to those just coming into the blessed light. All honor to that God-loving, God-fearing woman, Mary Baker G. Eddy, whose only work is the work of love in the helping of mankind to help ourselves, and who has placed before her fellow men, understandingly, what man's divine rights are and what God really is. H.W.B., Hartford, Connecticut.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and the correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the words from our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts, in their denominational, spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth. A sermon that is not contaminated, fettered, or compromised in any way by human hypotheses. A sermon that is authorized by Christ. Our lesson sermon for this morning can be found on page 18 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. The subject is Christ Jesus, and the golden text is from 1 John. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. The responsive reading is from Ephesians and Galatians. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children,
and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Carol will now read.
I will read from the Bible. 1 John. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. First Kings. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart." And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hath asked riches for thyself, nor hath asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart." Ecclesiastes. Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. John. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Matthew. And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountain and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Jesus said, "Suffer, little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Proverbs: "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." 1 Timothy: "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Romans: "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God."
I will read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Jesus of Nazareth taught and demonstrated man's oneness with the Father. And for this, we owe him endless homage. His mission was both individual and collective. He did life's work aright, not only in justice to himself, but in mercy to mortals, to show them how to do theirs, but not to do it for them, nor to relieve them of a single responsibility. Jesus was unselfish. From early boyhood, he was about his Father's business. The Man of Sorrows best understood the nothingness of material life and intelligence, and the mighty actuality of all-inclusive God good. These were the two cardinal points of mind healing, or Christian Science, which armed him with love. The highest earthly representative of God, speaking of human ability to reflect divine power, prophetically said to his disciples, speaking not for their day only, but for all time, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. and these signs shall follow them that believe. Through the magnitude of his human life, he demonstrated the divine life. Out of the amplitude of his pure affection, he defined love. With the affluence of truth, he vanquished error. The world acknowledged not his righteousness, seeing it not. But earth received the harmony his glorified example introduced. Who was ready to follow his teaching and example? All must, sooner or later, plant themselves in Christ, the true idea of God. In science, man is the offspring of spirit. The beautiful, good, and pure constitute his ancestry. His origin is not, like that of mortals, in brute instinct. Nor does he pass through material conditions prior to reaching intelligence. Spirit is his primitive and ultimate source of being. God is his father, and life is the law of his being. It is unwise to doubt if reality is in perfect harmony with God, divine principle, if science, when understood and demonstrated, will destroy all discord. Since you admit that God is omnipotent, for from this premise it follows that good and its sweet concords have all power. Christian science, properly understood, would disabuse the human mind of material beliefs, which war against spiritual facts. And these material beliefs must be denied and cast out to make place for truth. You cannot add to the contents of a vessel already full. Laboring long to shake the adult's faith in matter and to inculcate a grain of faith in God, an inkling of the ability of spirit to make the body harmonious, the author has often remembered our Master's love for little children and understood how truly such as they belong to the heavenly kingdom. Parents should teach their children at the earliest possible period the truths of health and holiness. Children are more tractable than adults and learn more readily to love the simple verities that will make them happy and good. Jesus loved little children because of their freedom from wrong and their receptiveness of right. While age is halting between two opinions or battling with false beliefs, youth makes easy and rapid strides towards truth. A little girl who had occasionally listened to my explanations badly wounded her finger. She seemed not to notice it. On being questioned about it, she answered ingenuously, "There is no sensation in matter." Bounding off with laughing eyes, she presently added, Mama, my finger is not a bit sore. The sharp experiences of belief in the supposititious life of matter, as well as our disappointments and ceaseless woes, turn us, like tired children, to the arms of divine love. Then we begin to learn life in divine science. Without this process of weaning, canst thou by searching find out God? It is easier to desire truth than to rid one's self of error. Mortals may seek the understanding of Christian science, but they will not be able to glean from Christian science the facts of being without striving for them. This strife consists in the endeavor to forsake error of every kind and to possess no other consciousness but good. Through the wholesome chastisements of love, we are helped onward in the march towards righteousness, peace, and purity, which are the landmarks of science. In divine science, man is the true image of God. The divine nature was best expressed in Christ Jesus, who threw upon mortals the truer reflection of God and lifted their lives higher than their poor thought models would allow. Thoughts which presented man as fallen, sick, dying, sinning. The Christ-like understanding of scientific being and divine healing includes a perfect principle and idea, perfect God and perfect man, as the basis of thought and demonstration. When will Jesus' professed followers learn to emulate him in all his ways and to imitate his mighty works? It is possible, yea, it is the duty and privilege of every child, man, and woman to follow in some degree the example of the Master by demonstration of truth and life, of health and holiness. Christian science raises the standard of liberty and cries, "Follow me." Escape from the bondage of sickness, sin, and death. Jesus marked out the way. Citizens of the world, accept the glorious liberty of the children of God and be free. This is your divine right. We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let us now sing hymn number 298. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. Saw ye my Savior? Heard ye the glad sound? Felt ye the power of the word? 'Twas the truth that made us free, and was found by you and me in the life and the love of our Lord. Hymn number 298.
Give him your heart. offer your everything. There's no limit on the love he has for you. So humble yourself and see what God will do.
Let us now sing hymn number 234. O Master, let me walk with Thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me Thy secret. Help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. Hymn number 234.
Master, let me walk with Thee. I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal air. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Philippians. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.